Well, hello everyone and welcome to the midweek message. Please do turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 63. I'll begin by reading Psalm 63. You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. I will be satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. On my bed I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night. Because you are my help, I will sing in the shadow of your wings. I cling to you. Your right hand upholds me. Those who want to kill me will be destroyed. They will go down to the depths of the earth. They will be given over to the sword and will become food for jackals. But the king will rejoice in God. All who swear by God will glory in him, while the mouths of liars will be silenced. If you've been a Christian for any length of time, you'll have experienced feeling spiritually dry and far from God. Rather than the Christian life being one of overflowing joy and wonder, it's marked by a sense of duty, simply going through the motions. And perhaps in this lockdown situation, in the midst of all the questions and the upheaval, this is how you feel, spiritually cold and flat and dry. Well, King David knew this experience. Well, the title, it provides us with the setting. It's a psalm of David when he was in the desert of Judah. He's fleeing for his life. His own son, Absalom, is trying to depose him as king and is ruthlessly hunting him down. And so David flees to the desert of Judah. It's a dry, barren, dusty, bleak, hostile landscape. But here's the point. David's physical surroundings are reflecting his spiritual circumstances. David feels dry, barren. He feels far from God. God seems distant. Perhaps David is even tempted to think that God has in some way abandoned him or forsaken him. But what is striking about David's experience is that he isn't content with the situation. David is not content with feeling far from God and spiritually dry. He doesn't shrug his shoulders, as I think we often do, and say, well, that's just the way it is. That's my personality type. I just grin and bear it and hope that in time it might pass. No. When David is in the desert, when his circumstances look bleak and he feels far from God, what is it that he desires and yearns for more than anything else? We'll look at verse 1. You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water. Just as someone who's lost in a desert yearns and seeks water. Well, David, he is thirsting. He is seeking after God, his God, the living God that he knows and loves. This is what David wants more than anything else. Even though David's circumstances are challenging and bleak, what David desires more than anything else is not a change in his circumstances, but more of God himself. Now, whenever the Bible talks about the desert, the wilderness, it always describes a place of testing. So this was true for the people of Israel as they wandered in the wilderness. It was true for David. And of course, it was true for the Lord Jesus as well. So the challenge is this. How will we respond when we find ourselves in the desert? Will we run to God or away from him? When we feel spiritually dry and God seems so very distant, will we shrug our shoulders or will we pursue God? Will we seek God? Well, this is what David does. He deliberately and intentionally recalls and reminds himself of God's character and God's promises and what God has graciously done for his people in the past. So look at verse 2. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Or look at verse 6. When sleep evades him and he finds himself lying on his bed with fears and worries circling his mind, what does he do? Verse 6. On my bed, I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night. David meditates. He recalls, he reminds himself of who God is and who God continues to be. And he deliberately dwells upon these truths. He speaks these truths to himself. So whilst David is in the desert and whilst his circumstances look bleak, and yet David's focus remains on God. Now, of course, it would have been very easy for David, whilst he's in the desert, to become inward looking and self-absorbed. I guess that is certainly the temptation we face. So much of our spiritual instability and weariness comes from spending too much time focusing on ourselves, our own actions, our feelings, our circumstances. And instead, the call of the New Testament is to fix our eyes on Jesus, to focus on Christ, and to rest in the wonderful, secure and solid hope that he has won for us. As the old saying goes, for every look within, take 100 looks at him. And so look at what David says in verse 8. I cling to you. The picture is of someone clinging to a rope for all their worth, because it's a matter of life and death. David clings to God for all his worth. He won't let go. But notice David recognises that his ultimate security does not rest in his ability to cling to God, but God's grasp of him. So look at verse 8. I cling to you, but your right hand upholds me. David knows that God's everlasting arms are upholding him. He's sheltered under the wings of the shadow of the Lord Almighty. And this is such good news, because when we're in the desert, for sure we need to head to our Heavenly Father and cling to him with all our might. But ultimately, our security does not lie in our ability to cling to God in the midst of our fears and challenges, but rather in Christ, knowing that he has got hold of us and he will never leave us. He will never forsake us. He will never let go of us. We are secure. So David, he dwells, he recalls, he reminds himself of God's character and God's promises. And notice this then leads David to praise God. We see this repeated refrain throughout the psalm, verse 3. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. Or verse 4, I will praise you as long as I live. In your name, I will lift up my hands. Verse 5. I will be satisfied as with the riches of food. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. Or verse 7. Because you are my help, I will sing in the shadow of your wings. And then verse 11. But the king will rejoice in God. You see, Psalm 63 reminds us that the reason we're to praise God is not dependent upon our circumstances or our feelings or our emotions, but upon God and who he is, what he has done, and what he promises to be to his people. You see, Psalm 63 exhorts us to praise God because he is great, not simply because we feel great or our circumstances are great. A song we sometimes sing at BEC is Blessed Be Your Name. I'm sure many of you will know it, but you might not know the story behind it. It was written by Matt and Beth Redman after they suffered 3 miscarriages in a row, with all of the heartbreak and questions and perplexions that follow. Well, let me read some of the lyrics. Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where your streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when the sun's shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be. Blessed be your name. But the song continues. Blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering, though there's pain in the offering. Blessed be your name. And here's the chorus. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be your name. You see, in the midst of their grief and heartache, Matt and Beth Redman came to understand the lesson of Psalm 63. You see, as we turn to praise God, we shift the focus away from ourselves and our immediate context, our own struggles and fears. And instead, it causes us to focus on God and his goodness and his faithfulness and his fatherly care and his provision for our lives. And of course, singing, it helps to stir our emotions. Singing helps to connect truths we may know in our heads and enables us to enjoy them and feel these truths in our hearts. So when you find yourself in the desert place and walking through the wilderness, will you too choose to sing, blessed be your name? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we know what it is to feel spiritually dry and barren and far from you. But Lord, help us not to be content with such an experience, but instead, by your Spirit, would you drive us to you? Would you cause us to pursue you and to seek you out? Help us in the midst of the questions and perplexions we may be experiencing. Help us to recall and remind ourselves and rest upon your character and your promises and what you have graciously done for us, your people, through your Son, the Lord Jesus, and the wonderful, secure and glorious inheritance we have. Father, in the midst of the desert place, when we find ourselves walking in the wilderness, help us to be those who turn and praise you for who you are and what you have wonderfully done for us in the gospel. Amen.